Welcome to Podcasts in the Park. I'm your host, Brittany Greer, and on today's episode, we will be visiting with David Day, director of the Pryor Innovation Center. Welcome to the podcast, David.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited to hear all the things that you have going on at the Innovation Center. But before we get started, can you give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you've come into this role?
Well, I started at Pryor High School as the high school basketball coach, and I did that for 5 years. I was also the college and career coordinator.
Okay.
And my role has kind of transitioned through that time. And when we decided to go into the create the Pryor High School Innovation Center, Dr. Raleigh, our superintendent at the time, came to me and asked me if that was something I would want to oversee. And I said, sure. And I wasn't coaching basketball at the time anymore, so it worked out well.
Awesome. So can you tell our listeners about the Innovation Center? I know you mentioned you and Dr. Raleigh talked, but how did that idea come to fruition?
Well, first of all, is space, as Pryor's growing, space is an issue. And it just made sense to get more students out at RSU campus, whether they be college students or high school students or both. Concurrent students would work as well. So we decided to create classes that kind of mimicked, you know, some skills that were needed in the park. And we came up with that. And so basically it's been a partnership between Roger State University, Mid-America Industrial Park, and our goal is to provide career-oriented courses, mainly focusing on 4.0 skills, industry 4.0 skills.
A trifecta.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about classes, but can you explain a little bit more about what classes are offered and how they might be different than the traditional classroom learning?
Sure. First of all, our classes are, some of them are blended, some of them are direct instruction, some of them are online, and some of them work at your own pace, so it just depends. We have, our programs are computer science, applied engineering, aviation and aerospace, robotics, computer-aided design or CAD, VR coding and programming, emergency medical technician or EMT. We have an HVAC internship, and we also have eSports, and next year we're going to start a graphic design course. For instance, our computer science course, we have like a smorgasbord of courses that students can choose to take, anywhere from intro to a computer science called Computer Science Essentials all the way to AP CSA. They work at their own pace online, but our instructor, Mr. Scott, just basically coaches them along and helps them as needed. They also have to take two courses at the Innovation Center at the same time based on transportation and logistics. So, for instance, a kid in computer science may also take a CAD course at the same time. And so 1 hour he may work on CAD, and 1 hour he may work on computer science. 1 hour he may work on VR programming. 1 hour he may work on computer science. So it's basically, like I'd say, it's like the buffet. You go in and you get what you want, and you take it and run with it. So now, not all courses work that way, though,
right.
But some do and some don't.
No, so. That's really cool. So do students have the opportunity to work on real-life projects? And if so, can you give us an example?
They have a lot of opportunities. That's something that we really try to push and encourage. We want to do real-world projects. For instance, we have one student right now who's working with a company called Acelon Robotics, and he's working, and they have a drone dog, like a Boston Dynamics drone dog.
Okay.
And what they do is he's working on creating, he calls it a pup pack. And so it goes on the back of the dog, and it's going to be Acelon wanted a spotlight for their drone dog. And it was kind of a capstone partnership with them. And so they're working on the spotlight. He's working on creating the spotlight and the batteries and trying to learn on the programming. It's something he's never done. He's more of a drone student. And that's kind of how we came to get that partnership, was a drone piece, but then we can't fit the batteries on the drone for the spotlight. So we're kind of working, we've transitioned to the drone dog, and that's what he's working on right now. So he's never CADed, so he's learning how to do that. He's never done the electronics part, so now he's working with Arduinos and working on that piece. So it's a new experience for him, which will be great as he goes into college and goes into the drone field.
Right, and lots of problem solving.
A lot of problem solving. Yeah, he had his 3D printed pup pack today, and I go, Nick, that's way too big. and so he's working on that, and so we're working on toning it down, working on putting a lid on it that will hinge. And so, you know, it's just problem solving, and that's what it is. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
And we also had a few years ago, we had a HemSaw project where our students worked with HemSaw, and they were working on a manufacturing plan for HemSaw to create a part that HemSaw outsourced. And they took that, they worked on the plan and created the plan. And then what happened the next year is they worked with Hemsaw again, and they wanted to take one piece of that part of the manufacturing plan, which was a pick and place robot. And they worked on programming that pick and place robot and for their carbide piece, and it worked out really well. And the students really did good, and they actually printed a, you know, they created a 33-page report and did the presentation to the company and did really well.
So, that's awesome. And how often in high school do you have the opportunity? So
not very often. And so we're always looking for capstone projects, you know, partnerships with businesses to create real world experiences for our kids. Basically, you know, their freshman year, their sophomore year, they learn all this stuff. In their junior year and senior year, we try to transition them into applying what they've learned already. We have some students right now, we are a special ed department, came to us and they wanted a pencil grip holder for their kids who have trouble holding a pencil. And so they had two pencil grips. They liked both of them, but they don't like them individually. They like them together. So what we've done is we've CADded it. Now we've prototyped it with a PLA piece on a 3D print. And now we're using some TPU to make it more flexible. Unfortunately, TPU isn't, you know, safe for them to put in their mouth. So we kind of got to look at how we're going to print those things. And so we're working on that right now as well.
Very cool. So it's my understanding that you have a program called Tango Flight. Is that correct?
We do. Tango Flight is a, our students are building an RV-12IS, a Vans RV-12IS airplane. They've been working on that for 2 years. This is the third year, and I hope we're getting it done. We've already got the parts coming in for the next build. So our aviation aerospace piece, we have a pilot pathway where students can work on getting their private pilot's license. We have a drone UAS pathway where they can fly the drones, get their Part 107. Nick, the student that I talked about, he has done some videography stuff with his drones. He's actually taking some time-lapse pictures of the new football stadium as it goes up. He's also worked with another company on taking some drone shots of in the interior of their company for a promotional video. So that's another piece. And then with the Tango Flight piece, we kind of partnered with the Career Techs Choose Aerospace. So it becomes an A&P mechanic type piece, except with the Choose Aerospace, it's basically all online. And there wasn't a lot of hands-on piece. So we've taken the Tango Flight piece and the Choose Aerospace piece and merged them together and created a hands-on project piece with Choose Aerospace.
That's awesome. So I actually got to go out and see it yesterday, and it's amazing the progress that you're making. My question to you is, though, who's going to fly that and where's it going to go once it's done?
Well, the DIR has to come in and approve everything and
Okay.
make sure everything's good, you know, and once that,
so students are not just taking flight once it's
created. No, it doesn't work that way. No, okay. It's not a plane until the wings go on. So right now it's just a piece of equipment. So, but once the wings go on, the DAR comes in, and that's the guy who approves everything, looks over all the plans, basically checks it off that it's good for flight. And then it has to get a certain amount of flight time hours. And one of our teachers, Jim Bryant, said he will be the first one to go up and fly the plane. And he's got to get a certain amount of flight time hours. And once it gets that, then what we'll do is we'll allow students to basically go on a ride. If, you know, obviously we have to get parent permission on that first. And but we'll do that. And our students, probably the ones that have built it, will be the first ones to go up in it. And we're looking forward to that day when that happens. But then once that plane's built, that plane is actually already sold to someone. Someone's already got that plane. So that plane's going to go on, and then we will start on the next one.
Very cool.
Yeah. And hopefully it won't take as long because we've learned all the problems that have come with it. And, you know, a lot of organization pieces were part of it as well. So hopefully once we've got that down, the plane will move a little smoother next time.
Awesome. So Mid-America had the opportunity to sponsor a STEM event that you hosted early in the year. Can you tell our listeners about the different projects and activities that were offered?
Well, so we did a STEM challenge.
Okay.
And it was a TSA STEM challenge, and we had different events. We had a dragster design where they did dragster races. We had a problem solving event. We had a flight event, a robotics. And I'm missing one other thing in there. I can't remember. But we had different events for them to do. We are going to do that again next year.
Okay.
And we've already reached out to American Castings. American Castings is going to sponsor that for us.
Awesome.
They're going to purchase the dragster design, the whole dragster field for us, which is quite expensive. They're going to do that. And then they're also going to help us maybe try to push it out to other schools and get other schools to get involved in our local, you know, area and get that opportunity for other schools to build the dragsters and come participate in the event. We're also going to have another TSA design piece, but not design, excuse me, a TSA speaking conference. And it's going to be in the fall. And we're going to have, so we're going to have two TSA challenges, but we're really looking forward to the design piece with the dragsters. So.
Awesome. And how many student schools did you have participate in the last one?
Oh, shoot. I would say 20.
Okay.
But we had 20, maybe that many. I don't know. We had over 150 kids, but we also had it was during a time when the flu and everything had hit. So we had students, we had schools that were backing out because of sickness. We expect to, I mean, I think next year, and we were, you know, we got a lot of positive feedback on it.
Right.
You know, even Scott Fry came and helped cook hot dogs with me. And I think we had a lot of positive feedback, and I bet we get over 250, 300 kids next year. And especially with the dragster piece, it's going to be really, cool.
That'll be awesome. So do you need volunteers for these types of events?
We always need volunteers.
My listeners get signed up if we want to participate.
Man, we always need volunteers. We need as many volunteers. I mean, it's just reach out to me and you can call my office or you can email me and I'll give you my cell phone number. It's 405-328-1194. You can call me. That's my cell phone. Or you can email me at school. It's dayd@priorschools.org. And we always need volunteers. We are hosting next year. We are hosting the State STEM Consortium meeting, yes, which we are doing that this year, partnering with Mid-America, Pitsco, and Rogers State. And we had one date, and the weather was not kind to us. And then so we rescheduled, and that was the week we were out of school for an entire week. So the weather was not kind either time. We were going to be Pitsco was going to be sponsoring and giving away $1,100 in materials to the teachers. So we're looking at doing that in the fall. We don't have a time yet when we're going to do that. But we're also going to be hosting three VEX robotics tournaments next year. One's going to be on November 1st. It's going to be our Halloween tournament.
Okay.
One's going to be in January, and we don't know when that's going to be. It's going to be in January. We don't know a date. One's going to be in February. This year we hosted two, and we held them at Roosevelt Elementary, and we had over 75 robots at one and over 80 at another. It was packed.
Yeah.
And then we're also hoping we're going to put in for the state VEX tournament. That will be March 12th and 14th. And we'll see if we get that. We don't know yet, but we are going to be applying to get that.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Yep. Fingers crossed. And then we also are going to be hosting at our campus, at the RSU campus. We're going to be hosting an OSU STEM camp in July for fifth grade students. There's going to be two sessions. There's going to be one from 8:30 to 12 o'clock, and that's through OSU CEAT. And there's also going to be a 1:30 to 5 o'clock p.m. session Tuesday, July 29th through Friday, August 1st.
How much do those cost, and how do we sign up?
I don't know. I have to get you more information on that. I think you can go to the OSU CEAT website and look at signing up on that. Okay. I haven't got all the information. I just know that I've got that date penciled in.
Awesome.
Also, we're going to be hosting two TSA mini conferences. Like I said, the first one is going to be more of the speech. The other one is going to be the one that's sponsored by American Castings. And we're also going to be hosting the TSA lead conference at the Mid-America Expo on October the 8th. So those are some things that we have going on.
Lots of exciting things coming up.
Yep. Another thing that I'm actually putting the purchase order in today. We're going to be purchasing a farm bot.
Okay. Tell us more.
It's basically it's a raised bed that uses a robot to and a control system to plant, water, and weed an 18 square meter garden. And so our kids will be working on that. You can come over anytime. It's just a matter of what we're going to be planting. And we did that with, you know, we're basically able to purchase that through a generous donation from LSB Industries. They gave us a donation, and we've decided, you know, that meets what they do with the money that they've given, and it's a perfect fit. And I haven't actually told them yet that that's what we're doing, but because I'm working on the purchase order today, but we're going to make an announcement with them too. So
very cool. So you've talked about a lot of cool opportunities for students, and kind of going back to that partnership with businesses. If our local businesses wanted to partner with you on a project, or maybe it's something you do for them, or maybe they sponsor you for something, how would they get connected with your students?
They reach out to me. I mean, they can reach out to me at either the phone number or the email address. Either one's fine. But, you know, we're always looking for opportunities. You know, some things they can do is a capstone project is one. And that can be anything that they come up with that the business would like for us to do and partner with. They can be guest instructors or speakers. If they, you know, they look at the programs we offer, they may find something that's in their area of expertise and maybe reach out to me and say, hey, we're good at this. We'd like to come in and talk to your kids. And nothing else, it's brand recognition for them.
Absolutely.
And it lets them know what's out there. A lot of our kids, they see the park networking. Yeah, they see it and they just don't know what's out there sometimes. Mentorships, internships. Maybe they say, hey, we need to do a site. We'd like for your kids to come in and do a site visit. We can do that. Yeah, always participation and sponsorship in events is always important. We always like donations. Donations are good because we basically operate on donations.
Right.
And then, you know, providing resources and materials helps too. So, you know, sometimes it may be, hey, we have a lot of leftover stuff. We may say, yeah, we can use it. We may say, sorry, we can't. But we're always looking for things like that. So.
Absolutely. So listeners, this is a great way to offer opportunities for students to solve problems and help you help them.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So you talked a lot about the events that are coming up. So I know that you've already hit on that point, but is there anything else in the future for the Innovation Center that we might need to know about?
Well, we're excited that we're going to be starting a graphic design class next year. So that's going to be new. We really kind of want to make it a print shop eventually. Right now, we're, you know, starting off, we don't have many kids enrolled, but we do have some that are pre-enrolled in it. Next year won't be our print shop because they're learning the process and learning how to do things. But later on, we'd like to do that. We'd like to basically make it more of an in-house print shop where we take care of prior public schools. But there could be some, you know, some one-off things that need to be done, and we'd be happy to do that. We don't want to take away from any of our local businesses and what they do.
Right.
But there may be some stuff that they can't do or don't have time, or nonprofits sometimes we'd be willing to help them as well. So that's some of the things. So, and then we're also, you know, another thing where we've started this year was our VR coding class. Next year, after you take the VR coding class, it can become a VR programming class. So if there's any training type things that could be done, like through VR, we'd be more than welcome to for a company. Like if you need a training, something done with VR, we'd be more than welcome to try to look and see if we could do that. You know, another piece of it is our HVAC program is really starting to grow. That's through a generous donation from Ray Corporation. They've sponsored that. And we had two kids that went through that program last year, and they both got hired on in HVAC industry.
That's awesome.
And this year we have three that are already signed up. I have one kid that won't stop bugging me about wanting to get started. And I'm like, hey, we'll start in August. It's good. But no, I love his enthusiasm, and I tell him that, and he's ready to go. And so we're excited about that too. So.
I do want to give a shout out to all these businesses that he's noting. So several of them are from Mid-America Industrial Park. So thank you so much for your sponsorship for these students. Again, creating opportunities for them to learn about career pathways, but also get skills that they need for the future workforce. So David, that's all so exciting. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing with us about the Pryor Innovation Center. For our listeners, if you'd like to learn more, you can check out pryorpublicschools.org. And under the schools tab, you'll see PHS Innovation Center under high school. There you can stay up to date with their events, sign up for their quarterly newsletter, and even follow them on LinkedIn. That concludes today's episode of Podcasts in the Park. Thank you for listening.